Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivan, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council on this week's show. It's budget season at City Council. Councilmember Priscilla R. Tyson, the chair of the Finance Committee, held one in a series of City Council-led public hearings on the proposed 2016 General Fund budget. City Council members will amend the budget early next year with money carried over from 2015. The budget is usually finalized in early February. It is customary during the beginning of the budget briefings to receive an overview from longtime City Auditor Mr. Hugh Dorian. Mr. Dorian has been Columbus's auditor since the late 1960s, and no one, and I mean no one, has his fingers on the pulse of Columbus's finances more than Mr. Dorian.
What I would like to do is to not only show you our official estimates for next year, but also give some history as to where we have come as a city over some rather difficult years and rather difficult things to deal with when you consider cuts of various revenue sources from the state of Ohio. We have a PowerPoint. I think all of you have this, and if you can follow along with me. Yeah, the first document is a letter which you have seen before. It's the official revenue estimate, really an estimate of available resources for the city's general fund to operate on in the year 2016. Now, I would like to go beyond that and go into some details. So in looking at the document, you'll see a page titled General Operating Fund Number 10 and Other Data and the various table of contents. Going beyond the table of contents, and I'm looking at what is now called page 1, you'll see the most important factor that this city has to rely on when it comes to revenues is its city income tax. When you think of what I call current revenues, those revenues that come in within a given year and exclude for a moment carryover resources, income tax is going to make up about 77% of our resources for the general fund next year. Some of you I know are familiar with those numbers. Maybe some are not so familiar. You'll see that if I pick the six largest sources of revenue for the general fund and just enumerate six out of hundreds of different sources when you get into very, very detailed items, it makes up almost 94% of our general fund resources. Next to income tax, and you'll see how the others pale in comparison, property tax makes up about 5.3%. Shared revenues, and we'll get into these details, about 3.5% and so forth. So again, income tax just dwarfs all other sources of revenue. We look at page 2. There's a brief history of income tax. And when I show you data for 2015 and 2016, even 2015 still contains some estimates. Data prior to that is actual data. But if you look at the income tax growth patterns, you'll see in 2011, a growth of about 6%, 2012, 5%, 5.5%, and so forth. This year, in 2015, I'm looking at a growth pattern of about 4%, but in my usual reasonably conservative nature, I'm going to hold that official estimate to 3%. For next year until we get into some of the year and see how it looks at that point. I'll mention to you that, once again, Columbus, Ohio was the third city in the nation to have a municipal income tax. Philadelphia was first, 1939. Toledo, Ohio was second, 1947. And Columbus, Ohio was third in 1948. I'd also mention to you that since 1948, Columbus has had 5 years of what we call negative growth. It sounds like an oxymoron. Basically, we got less money 1 year than we received the year before. Out of those 5 years, three of those 5 years have occurred since 2002. So that's not ancient phenomena to see ups and downs in this source. You well know that when we collect a dollar of income tax, we take 25 cents or 25% of it and set it aside in what we call formally a debt service fund. That pays for all your roads, all your playgrounds, all your parklands, your fire stations, police stations, heavy fire equipment, so forth. I will mention, not to be confused with water and sewer facilities and water and sewer resources. No tax money goes into water and sewer operations or improvements. We have on page 3, to give you a little idea of the, in the form of bar charts, the fluctuations in those taxes. And you can see there's volatility there. There's volatility. That big, high, long bar for the year 2010, you'll remember our income tax rate increase took place in the fourth quarter of 2009. And that burst of growth, those are nominal dollars, not adjusted for inflation, actual dollars. That's that big growth item in 2010. Page 4 gives you some of that narrative on some of that history of the tax. Again, you'll see that I try to show that in the state of Ohio, municipalities can impose an income tax rate up to 1%. Whenever one city attempts to go beyond 1%, you can only do so with a vote of its residents, of its eligible voters. Let me go now, and by the way, please feel free to interrupt me at any time. I'd like now to go to property taxes, page 5, and you'll see property taxes for many years were made up of two components, personal property taxes and real property taxes. And then from those taxes, the county deducts certain amounts of money each year to pay for their costs of collections, administrative charges, and so forth. I want to point out to you, when I mentioned some of the cuts in municipal funding that has occurred that cities have to overcome, if you look briefly at page 6, you would see the history of personal property tax. Well, if we went back to the beginning of, let's say, 2001, there was a time when we'd get better than $6 million, and persistently anywhere from $5 to $6 million over the from 2001 to 2010, thanks to efforts by the state, we now get about $200,000 a year. So that, and that's something that will not come back. That's you're not going to grow in that number. Let's look at property taxes themselves on the real property taxes. That's on page 7. You'll see that there certainly has been a moderating influence on real property tax collections. If you look at the chart, every third year you will see a little white asterisk, and that tells you that that's the year that we should be seeing more money, because of the revaluations that took place in the previous year. And if you look at 2015, our current year, rather than get a burst in revenue, we actually got a reduction in revenue, and that's because overall throughout the city, overall, the revaluations went down. Okay, you'll see in those middle years where following the white asterisk, where typically revenues would increase and increase nicely. Let me go to this revenue source that we call shared revenues. That's simply a title of revenues, tax revenues that are levied by other levels of government but shared with cities and counties and so forth. And I'll get into a little bit of detail of each one of them. Local government funds, you'll see that from the year 2010 to the year 2015, and these are very accurate numbers at that date, we're getting about half of what we once got. We dropped from $40 million to $21 million. Estate taxes. I can tell you estate taxes over the past many years averaged about $9.5 million a year. We'll look at some disturbing news there. Casinos, we'll give a little more detail on that also. Liquor taxes are pretty steady. Does appear that we haven't given up our drinking habits. Those taxes remain pretty much the same. If we look at those local government funds on page 9, you'll see again, if we go back to the beginning of 2001, $51 million we got in local government monies. Well, look at what we're looking at now. 2015, about $21 million. And again, you don't grow out of those things. There'll be modest growth. I'm looking for modest growth, not immediately. Not immediately. That was a major, major loss of revenue there.
So, Mr. Dorey, that's a $30 million loss.
Yes, ma'am, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If I can go to the next page 10, which is terribly, terribly disturbing, those are estate taxes. You can see over that bar chart of all the years, it would average about $9.5 million a year. In 2012, we actually got $15 million from estate taxes. Estate taxes were eliminated effective 12/31/12. So any decedents after 12/31 of 2012 had no Ohio estate tax to pay. So 2 or 3 years ago, compared to getting $15 million, in 2014, we got $700,000. And yes, in 2015, that is a negative. We actually had to give some back. So that is another source of revenue, a dramatic, and very disturbing because, again, that's something you won't grow out of. Another item that I call shared revenues, the so often talked about casino taxes. Our casino taxes, we started receiving them in 2012. Looking at 2015 and 2016, I really do not expect any growth patterns in casino taxes. The City of Columbus, our general fund, we might benefit maybe an additional $200,000 compared to last year. But that's because the Westside Community Fund, we have now funded that. We were responsible to fund it for $2.5 million, and we have now done that. So that's about $250,000 we paid this year, which we will not have to pay next year. If I can go to page 12 and indicate what we call pro rata charges, there is an ordinance that allows us to take 4.5% of revenues from all your enterprise funds and some other funds, water, sewer, and so forth. That's really not a revenue source. It's a reallocation of costs is what it is. Okay. So you can see it's fairly steady now, about $28, $29 million range. Let me briefly mention fines. You'll see that fines have tapered off somewhat. I look at them to be relatively steady in 2015 and 16. If you look at $18.6 million, about $12 million of that is from the courts, and about $6.5 to $6.6 million or so is from parking fines, parking tickets, okay? Significant piece of revenue. Director Speaks mentioned EMS fees, and I pay great compliments to those who assist us in that matter. You'll see that I believe EMS fees have pretty much peaked now. I'm looking at about $15.5 million this year, which is the highest year in its history, 2003 being the first year of collections, and I'm looking at about the same number, $15.5 million for next year. I have a brief couple of pages of other data just to show you how the city is staffed with the, in my view, marvelous, wonderful, dedicated employees that we all have, and you'll see comparisons of numbers of employees before the income tax increase and what it is today, okay? a few fewer police, a few more fire. The increase is primarily in part-time civilian employees, but I provide that data to you. I also, for your little bit of history, if and when you are questioned on water and sewer rates, which you just recently enacted the increases for 2016, there's a schedule showing what those rates, how they have increased. Believe it or not, there have been years when there were no increases since the year 2001 until the current time. One other bit of data I'd like to share with you, the last page, being unemployment rates. We get this data from the Ohio Bureau of Jobs and Family Services. If you looked at the unemployment rate in Franklin County at the end of October, 3.6%. You have to go back to 2001 before you can find an unemployment rate lower than that. 14 years now, this is the lowest unemployment rate. If you were to look at the years 2000 and 2001, we all got spoiled with those unemployment rates, 2 point this, 2 point that, and so forth. But now we're at an excellent excellent move on the unemployment charts. That's the extent of the data that I have for you. I want to say to you that you heard Mr. Rakowski talk about a carryover. Carryovers result from two components. One, if revenues come in greater than what your auditor estimates, that's one component. The other component is if the administration and all of us don't spend as much as we originally budgeted. And I really seriously give my compliments to Mr. Rakowski and his team because they've done a marvelous job of controlling costs throughout the year. That's all I have for you. I think, quite frankly, we should be very, very happy to be living in the city of Columbus, Ohio. I'm very proud of it, and I think you got a great team around here. If any questions, I'll do my best.
Mr. Doyen, as always, thank you for presenting information regarding our revenue. And certainly, I know you look at the revenue every single day to see where the city happens to be. But just really appreciate you always educating not only us, but also the listening and viewing audience as to the general fund revenue for the city. Your comments regarding the importance of the carryover, again, I am in total agreement with you and just appreciate the work that, as I said, the directors have done. But I also appreciate just you and how you estimate the funds and, you know, making sure that being very conservative, that I think has been critically important to the success of our city. I also appreciate that the individuals who decided that we would become an income tax city was critically important to our overall growth. When I talked to my colleagues across the country from through the National League of Cities, most of those cities don't have an income tax. And so, which I call a progressive tax, because if people are working, they're paying taxes for the services. Many of them have recessive taxes, and so they're not able to be in the position that we're in. And that's critically, and because of having the income tax and being wise to put 25 cents of every dollar to be able to pay for those, our capital expenses, that's why, you know, we ask, why do we continue to get that AAA bond rating? Those are all components as to why we continue to get that, as well as the leadership of the city. And critically important to that is you. When you sit on those calls and listen to the rating agencies, certainly by you being here for so many years and managing our dollars is critically important to getting that, as well as Director Rakowski. They always talk about the management team, and where the management team, we've had a mayor for 16 years, we have a council that, as well as the two of your areas, certainly have been important to us continuing to get that. So I appreciate this. Every time I have the opportunity to listen to you and you share the inner workings of our city in terms of its resources, and just appreciate you And again, I certainly appreciate Director Rakowski and the administration, but I it's critically important to know that that's why we get that AAA bond rating. And if it weren't for you and others, I get concerned about that rating, because there's a management score that they look at. And our conservatism has helped us to continue to be the city that we happen to be.
I'd like to mention, since you brought up the subject of bonds, it was last March or April I asked you to pass a bond ordinance approving some refundings of some sanitary sewer bonds. And I often say, if the arithmetic doesn't work at the time, we don't do it. Well, the arithmetic is now working. And next Monday night, I expect to be able to report to you that we'll price a bond refunding for sanitary sewers on Thursday of this week. And I feel pretty confident that I'll report to you we saved several million dollars.
Following Mr. Dorian was Finance Director Paul Rakowski, who provided details of the proposed 2016 budget for Councilmember Tyson and others.
The collective commitment to the city's long-term fiscal health that's been shown by the mayor and the city council and all of the directors that are sitting here in council chambers has again resulted in the maintenance of our AAA bond rating. We continue to be the only city of our size to receive a stable fiscal outlook and the highest rating from all three rating agencies. And this is important, obviously, because it allows us to borrow money more cheaply, but it also, the more important, is a reflection on the fiscal management of the city and the way that we take care of our business here at the City of Columbus. The mayor's proposed 2016 budget continues and sustains the pledge to replenish our rainy day fund. The savings that we spoke about earlier of almost $18 million in 2015, all due to reduced spending, will allow us to deposit an additional $2.2 million into the fund in 2016. This deposit will result of a balance of just under $70 million by the end of 2016, which keeps us right on schedule to meet the goal of a $75 million balance in the fund by the end of 2018. Meeting this commitment not only ensures the financial stability for the city well into the future, but it also allows us to prepare for that inevitable economic downturn that we'll once again, unfortunately, suffer, and it allows us to keep those services, providing those services to the citizens. And I do want to point out, because I'm very proud of this, and I'm proud of all the other folks here and that work for the mayor, when you look at the table that we have and the chart that we have up that talks about our general fund savings, since 2001, we've spent $187 million less than what we've had appropriated at the beginning of the year. And that's a testament to all of the directors and all of the sacrifices and good work that they do throughout the year. As you're aware, the final report of the City of Columbus's Accountability Committee was issued in March of 2013. We now project that we will achieve reform savings of nearly $260 million over the period of 2009 to 2019. This represents more than twice the savings that we originally promised when those goals were set forth in our 10-year reform and efficiency plan. The commitment to reducing costs through these efficiencies and operations and the pension and budget reforms, unfortunately, will have to continue. As you saw in the auditor's presentation, all these sources of revenue that have been taken away from us, we're not going to grow our way out of that. The only way that we can deal with those is by continuing to reduce costs and increase efficiencies and reforms that'll allow us to maintain our current city service levels into the future. We've talked many times about green initiatives, and those are great for the environment, and they reduce the city's carbon footprint, but they also reduce our operating costs and produce real savings. The compressed natural gas that many of our vehicles are running on and our green and high-efficiency buildings lower our energy costs, as well as doing the good things about reducing carbon emissions. So we need to continue to pursue all the goals that were identified in that original report, and then always continue to seek new opportunities for savings where they exist. We continue to maintain our financial position but our future, unfortunately, is always uncertain. You know, as such, collectively, we must remain committed to fiscal responsibility and continue our efforts in reforming the manner in which we operate the city. I'd like to now quickly address my own department's budget. As it's been over the past few years, our proposed budget for the Finance and Management Department is really a maintenance continuation budget. The budget, including all funds, is $130.7 million. It supports 274 full-time and 19 part-time positions. The general fund represents slightly over $73.5 million of that total. Facilities management is the largest general fund division within our budget, and it has a budget that totals $16.4 million, including over $6 million for utility expenses. The fleet management division's proposed budget is $36.4 million. It supports 133 full-time and two part-time positions. This is an internal service division. It bills other departments for the services it provides, and we all know what a great job Kelly Regan and his team have done over there in regard to managing the city's fleet, greening the city's fleet, and becoming the top fleet in the country. They provide repair and maintenance for over 3,100 on-road and 3,200 off-road pieces of mechanized equipment that are essential to delivery of city services, including fire apparatus and medics, our police cruisers, our vehicles that are driven by our code enforcement officers, all of the city's plows that go out and clear the streets during winter storms. I've also pointed out that my budget in the department seems large, but we also, our budget includes significant general fund resources that, although they're budgeted within my department, they benefit other general fund agencies. And in 2016, this includes $18.4 million for the citywide technology billings that allow the Department of Technology to provide their services to the general fund departments, $21 million for economic development incentive payments, and $15.9 million in hotel motel tax fund distributions that go to our partners out in the community like Experience Columbus, our social service organizations, our cultural arts partners, and $1.4 million for the public defender's contract. That finance citywide account is budgeted at $28.4 million and includes those important deposits of $2.2 million and $2.3 million into the Rainy Day Fund and 27th Pay Period Fund, respectively.
Thank you, Director Rakowski. This kind of overall, but do you see that next year that the strategies that we've used this year we'll be continuing to do to be able to be efficient, continue to be efficient, and continue to have cost savings for the city of Columbus?
I'm confident that the new administration and the directors that are going to be here working for the new administration are going to continue all of the good things that we've been able to do over the past 16 years, and that includes continuing to push for reforms and efficiencies, as well as managing their budgets. It's clear that we have to manage our budgets, and we cannot spend everything that's appropriated to us in any given year. If we were to do that, then we are going to have a hole in the budget. So we need to continue those efforts, but I have all the confidence in the world that the new administration under Mayor-elect Ginther and City Council's help in managing that budget is going to put us in a very good position when we're at this time next year. I will say that, you know, as these, you know, cuts that we've seen from the state, if they continue, it's going to be difficult. It's going to make it even more difficult to continue to balance the budget if there are more of these cuts that come down the line. I think we can continue to sustain the budget as long as we don't take any more hits. If we take more hits, it's going to become very difficult to do that.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's callthe roll at columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.